Well, it's Friday, May 22nd, 2020. It's a Friday night, and this is The Big Puzzle, and we're coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. Kind of an impromptu show, not on my regular schedule, but there is a pile of stuff going on in Canada right now, so I figured why not. I want to thank PIR and Steve Roberts and Chicken Wake Radio for picking up the show and broadcasting it. We are viewer-supported stations, folks, so if you like what we're doing, please reach into the kitty and throw a few bucks the station's way. I know it's a little bit tough times now for some people economically, but any help would sure be appreciated. I got with me here the first hour, I have Jürgen Wallroth, and you guys have all heard him many times on my show, and Dave Delisle, who was a PPC candidate in the last federal election, and Mike Ahern, who's an activist in Northern Alberta, or Alberta, I don't know if it's Northern, that's the Central Alberta, I'll call it. Welcome to the show, gentlemen, and you know, I always like to start the show off with asking you in short form, because we are three of us in the room here, and I know it's going to be lively, in short form, what your pet peeve of the week is. And I'll start with Jürgen, and I'll pass it to Mike and then Dave. Jürgen, welcome.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Barry. Pet peeve, again, is, I guess for me, is the amount of fear that Canadians are experiencing right now and the amount of trepidation there is on people to escape their fear. They seem to be very content to sit back in their comfy homes and be happy that the government is taking away all these freedoms. And that's, I guess, the biggest thing I have on my plate this week. And it's carrying on. It's getting worse. The one redeeming factor I have today is that President Trump stood up in his thing today, in his address, and he declared that going to church was an essential service, and if any governor didn't like it, he was going to go over top of them to make sure that people could go and worship at a time when they need to go to church. If you can go to a liquor store, you can certainly go to church.
Amen. Yeah. I saw that too, Jürgen, and that was a good day in America. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Always a pleasure. You know what? I'm going to veto the deal on Trudeau or on Trump. I mean, obviously, this is a mandate that had to come into play. But my pet peeve at this point is, you know, it's really, really starting to disturb me how the Canadian public and many people on social medias are just getting so far stretched out of hand. You know, I get phone calls every day. And it really is starting to bother me how much Canadians are reacting in the negative sense to this thing. And I'm going to go with Jürgen. This state of fear is against the law. We are not allowed to fear people. We're not allowed to do it. It's a threat. And it's a law in our country. And the Liberal government seems to be getting away with it while they dictate what the Conservative government is doing and calling them fearmongers. So we got a definite slide. That's a big one. But you know what? Canadians need to come together, and we need to do it in a different retrospect to what we're doing. We're doing it the wrong way.
Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and welcome, everybody, and glad to be here. My pet peeve, I guess, is twofold. One is the double standards in the country, and it starts with Trudeau, and realistically, I mean, the rest of the parties. There's a double standard. Most of us are all locked up in our homes, supposedly, and yet these guys are all free to go and roam wherever they want. Now, the double standard also applies to like Islam. Islam is allowed to go to their mosques, and they're allowed to scream their garbage over the loudspeakers. Yet we can't go to a church. We're not allowed to congregate in a church. But if we're on the streets and we preach the gospel, we go to jail. If they're on the streets preaching Islam, it's all good. The Quran, it's all good. And I really have issues with these things.
Issues is an understatement.
Dave is very polite.
I know, Dave. You're a lot more polite.
Dave's a very polite guy. And everything you just said, Dave, I agree with you 100%. I'll stop there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave, 100% too, but I'm a little bit more in your face about that, man. I mean, this is beyond. I thought we were living in Canada. I thought Canada had a culture that made this country great that our grandfathers died for, and now we have this crap going on in our society, and people aren't standing up in absolute mass, because if we did, we'd put a stop to it. But Canadians are taking this. I just don't get it, because the percentage of people in this country right now that are supporting this is very, very low compared to the general population. So where are Canadians? My pet peeve of the week, And my question, where are Canadians? Jurgen.
Canadians are in the same spot. They've been in the same spot they've always been, and that's on the couch, very happy to watch American Idol and crap on everything American and say everything China is okay. We've transformed this country, and you know, basically with the Laurentian elite, the Charter of Limited Rights and Restricted Freedoms, all of that has changed our country in such a way that people are content to believe that everything is rosy in our country. It always is. We've got a prima donna prime minister who, even though he never worked a day in his life, we're going to trust him with every aspect of our life. That's what Canada has become. We dropped our testicles after the Second World War. Somehow we lost them somewhere along the way. We decided not to stand up anymore for what is right. We decided that just sitting back is okay because we believe in everything that's being told by the media that's been paid for decades to tell us these fairy tales and fantasies about unicorns and pride parades and all of that is good, and everything that has to do with the Bible is bad. We've transitioned, and this is, I guess, this is what evolution is. From the time when I came to this country, singing the national anthem, singing God Save the Queen, and saying the Lord's Prayer, to going to complete secularism where we denied all religion in schools, to now going a full 360 and saying it's okay for Islamic prayer in our public schools on Fridays, and we're shouting it out from the rooftops now during Ramadan, and that's just the start. So that's our evolution. That's Canada. And it's the Canadians are still in the same spot, Barry. They're still sitting there going, wow, this is all great.
Yeah, this is multiculturalism.
That's right.
Acceptance. You know, yep. We got to be accepted to what they're going to do in our society. Well, wait a second. Hold on. Mike, what do you think? And then I'll add my comment at the end. Then I'll go to Dave. Mike, what do you think about this?
You know what? I think I'm not going to fall off the agenda. I'm going to follow that completely. I'll tell you, here's the big situation. You know, Canada's the youngest country in the world, and we're toddlers. And I've said this many times lately that we're running around with our little pull-up pants on because we're just learning how to shit. So we've learned all of our life and the way we've been brought up to break down our society that since, you know, let's say the mid-50s on, if we stomped loud enough, we just get it. So we brought up in a culture like that. So when we try to come together and defend something, we feel that defending is jumping up and down and screaming loud enough and somebody will do something about it. But in this case, that's not going to happen. And there's always that over amplified deal that says you're not allowed to jump and scream anymore. So then when our freedoms and rights get started to take away, like Jorgen just said, when we start to lose these things, once we lose them, as Shaziz says today, once we lose that grip, it's gone forever. It is never coming back. It has never worked anywhere in the world, and it will not. So the bottom line is this. When we come around, Canadians want to have a superstar rock star come up, and they want them to take care of that for everybody and make it all safe because we don't have the balls, spine, the wits. The greatest generation that ever lived is 90% dead. We never carried it forward. We were too free of a society, and we lost our way in freedom so that we never were even able to speak because now everyone's opinion was isolated to themselves. I've always mentioned over the last 5 years, Barry, as you know, one common goal. We need one common goal. If we can catch the one common goal, I think a lot of things will settle themselves along the way. It seems to have proven just in life as we've lived it over the years. So I think that there's a way that we can come together, but it's going to be a different way. And you know, Canadians just aren't going to get out in the streets and go and do what they do in France or do what they do in Spain or any of those countries where they get shot in the streets for doing it, including France now.
Go ahead. Somebody trying to say something? Anyways, Dave, what do you think? I'm going to pass it around here.
I'll tell you. What I think is, you know, I talk to people every day. And the reality is that a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm just going to leave it to God because God will do this. Realistically, if you look back in the Bible or whatever, I mean, Christians stood up and took this stuff down once before. Well, actually several times before, but we need to do that. And these people they're too complacent in their lifestyle and whatever. And just oh, well, let God deal with it. Well, that's nice, but God may provide food for you, is my argument to them. But you need to physically do something to put it into your mouth. He's not going to feed you. And the reality is, get off your butts and do something. Stand up. Say something. We can't play this game anymore. We are so close to being a full-on Islamic country, and people just do not get it.
Yeah, you're correct about that, Dave. And people really knew some of the things. Of course, they don't, because we are dealing with mainstream media in Canada. Mainstream media, as you know and I know, and anybody that's listened to mainstream know that the biggest enemy of the people is mainstream media. That once the government controls media, they control the masses. We only need to look at history to see that and understand how it's worked in the past and how it's working now in our society. That if we could get by mainstream media, but that is our biggest obstacle. The fact that none of this information, none of this real relevant information ever reaches the people through the mainstream is our biggest obstacle. We have to get around that. We have to get people going to alternative. Well, Dave, there's no hiding what's going on in this country now. If anybody with any kind of rationale, even for an hour, really goes and starts to look at what the Trudeau government's doing, how his involvement with China is absolutely manifesting itself, why our allies around the world are now questioning in great concern what Trudeau was doing in Canada. I mean, our allies are paying attention, and they see what he's doing and his involvement with communist China. The whole world sees this now. So we are in Canada right now. We have a lunatic, an absolute, but he's not. He's doing exactly what George Soros has told him to do. He didn't have a two-hour closed-door meeting with George Soros in Davos. They didn't talk about their grandchildren. They didn't talk about hockey. He laid down the plan, and Trudeau was following it to the T. Period.
So, Jürgen.
Let's go, Jürgen. We'll keep passing around the table here because I'd like
to
get into
that. I just wanted to add to what Dave said really quickly. That was all.
Well, I'll give you a chance in about 2 seconds.
I'll come back after Jürgen. Yep.
Well, no, you go ahead, Mike. You got something to throw in.
Jürgen, go ahead. No, I'll go back to the religion thing and what Barry finished off with, and I'll explain that to detail, and we'll understand. Yep.
Well, there's just so much into this. There's so many layers to all of this, isn't there? And I think we all agree that it's so deep. And for any one of us to try to get to the bottom of it and to understand it, I mean, you look at what just happened in Nova Scotia, the slaughter, the absolute a nightmare that was a RCMP response that was 4 hours late, that had all these people, that there's so many questions in this country as to not only our governance, but the police forces, our freedoms. The fact that ever since the Second World War, like you said, Mike, we have totally lost all sense of national pride, you know. The Laurentian elite have really done a great job in separating us from our best friend, and that's the United States of America, which, of course, you and I, we all know. We get our news from there. We get our entertainment from there over the decades. You know, when's the last time you sat down and watched a really good Canadian-made television series as opposed to an American-made series in that sense, right? So our cultures are so intertwined, and yet our government and we have allowed this to happen. We've allowed guys like Justin Trudeau to come along and say, okay, Fidel Castro's all right, and so is the Chinese government, right? And the CBC just goes along with that and supports it to the point where now how much of this country is owned by China? 80, 90%? Do we even know? These guys need to go in front of justices that are not pedophiles. We need to go in front of justices that are straight, honest, sovereigntist Canadians. But we don't have any of those anymore, I'm afraid. So go ahead, Mike. You have something to throw in there. I could ramble forever.
You know, geez, that was wonderful. I love that. I couldn't have said it better myself. But I'll go back just for the one step. Dave made a very big, very good big point that everyone says in the Christian society it's in God's hands.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time.
You
it's
have to
not
pick
in
up
God's
sword.
Hands. But just a minute. It's not in God's hands. It's in our hands to do God's work. And he's not going to come a call in, and he's not going to come and help you unless you get to work. We had this happen once before when they closed the gates of the ark, and you know, and I'm not a biblical expert, so don't get me wrong on this, but you know, and it was from a friend, and it said, you know, Noah closed the gates because even the people that were of God turned a blind eye, so they were just as guilty of the evil. So that's what happens, and that's what's happened to us because Overtel is taking it. But I'll get off that. I'll go back to what. The back of the conversation ended up to be, and you know, yes, it gets to be a very wide open target, because as soon as we leave off the question and we go into, as we did, Islamic State, it's very clear what's going on. Anybody notice that anybody and any conversation of Islam has gone away from social media altogether?
Yeah.
The diversions that they leave on us, and that's why I have a big squirrel with the mouth open and its arms out in the air saying stop. We've got to stop acting like the squirrel. We put something on social media and the whole country goes upside down. And when you investigate it, there's no truth to the matter whatsoever. Yeah, we have people of ages dying of heart attacks worrying about our country on social media that are friends of ours because we have scared them into oblivion.
And that's
so
where the
problem
is. We're
creating our own fear. Yes. So we have to stand strong. We have to step up to the plate. And yes, since World War II, we've lost our way. And now it's time to reconquer that discussion on freedom. And, you know, it's going to take a completely different government to come into play than the ones that are in place right now. We need a rock star. We don't need a Trump. We need a rock star. We need somebody, though, that's tough enough to make a deal with Trump, because our deal was pretty shitty. The only deal that worked on there was with Trump. So I would argue that.
Mike, can we refrain from using that word, buddy, please? It's not really a swear word, but I'm just asking you not to use those words on the show.
Oh, sorry.
Please.
Sorry. I didn't
realize
it.
Pretty
poopy.
Pretty poopy is a good explanation, okay? It just offends it just offends a few of my listeners. That's all. Okay, go ahead. Dave, I'm going to get you a thought to that.
I've been on your show.
Yeah.
What I find funny is that nobody seems to care anymore about the country itself. They and none of our politicians, none of them, not even the PPC, okay, or Max. Max, you know, came up with a great platform, but the reality is, if you look deeper into it, and I know I was listening to Frank Vaughn today, and it's true what he was saying. You know, Harper and all these other guys, and even when Max was in the CPC, he was all pro-China, and we need to make deals with China. We need to have free trade with China. And all these things culminated into where we're at now.
It goes so deep.
It is so deep. And the reality is that when I was up as a PPC speaking in front of everybody, I was telling them the truth. You know what? This is the truth. Is this what you want? And it seems like everybody was afraid even then of the truth. They don't want to accept what's there. They'd rather listen to the lies coming from the Liberals and the NDP and the CPC and the Green Party. And they don't want to hear factual information because it scares them. For me, that's why, like, for me, I got involved with the 3% group. Because I believe in patriotism, and my family's been here since the early 1600s, my French family. I've got all kinds of native in my family, and the reality is I'm not willing to give up my country. I'm not willing to give up my children's future and my grandchildren's future so they can be tortured or killed. They need to be in a free country. That's what we stood for. That's what this country's all about. And I don't care who you are, you're native, whatever. All the people in this country believe in freedom.
We all love our freedom. And the thing is, Dave, as I said before, if most people in Canada, if a majority of the population in Canada really knew what was going on, what the future was going to bring for them and their children, in the very near future, not talking 20 years down the road, I'm talking, I don't want to say, very, very near future. Yeah, very, very, very near future. Then they would get active, that they would all of a sudden maybe have a look in the mirror and say, wait a second, hold on. I've grown up in a country that gave me a lot of opportunities, and look what we've got in we've got a house and we've got a good life and blah, blah, blah. And that is going to get taken away from you. completely taken away from you if you don't stand up now. We're at a point right now, and I honestly believe that if we don't get our poop together here right away as Canadians and stand up against this, we have, and I hate to say it, we have a real good chance of losing it. Jürgen, what do you think?
We made a huge mistake, Barry, when we forgot to teach people that there's a responsibility that you have if you want freedom. Every single one of us has a responsibility to fight for it. Every single one of us has that respect, but it's been taken away from us. It's called the dumbing down of society, right? They don't want you involved, so they never taught you that you should be responsible, being a responsible voter. And here's the thing, right? We've come to a situation where I know, and I'll bet you each one of your other guests here, and you yourself, Barry, you know all kinds of people who are political experts every 4 years. They know everything every 4 years. But in the meantime, in between those 4 years, they haven't followed one bill that was passed. They haven't got a clue what their favorite guy did. All they know is what they've been told by a press that's been paid to tell them what they want to hear. That's it. It's as simple as that. That's what our country has come down to. And when he made the announcement, when he first got elected, nobody paid attention, just like nobody paid attention to Pierre Trudeau when he said unilingual Anglophones will be sentenced to a lifetime of job immobility after he passed the Official Languages Act. People don't listen to what these guys say. Justin Trudeau said, I am glad we are now back, right? Sunny ways. We are the world's first post-national state, and nobody said anything. Nothing was said.
Not a word.
Right?
And I just about
dropped that day. I said, oh, my God, Canadians have no idea what he just said. That means that sovereignty is gone, the borders are gone, and right away you open the borders. On top of that, and here's the worst part of it that Canadians don't know either. On the day that he became prime minister, he made himself minister of youth. Have you heard of anything that he's done as minister of youth? No. What's he doing?
Turning him into brown shirts.
Hey, what else? What else is he doing?
He's definitely read the Communist Manifesto. And I believe he's probably read Rules for Radicals by Sal Zelensky, a couple of his guidelines in life. I mean, that's a guideline for Hillary. Hillary Clinton was Sal Zelensky was Hillary Clinton's mentor. A lot of people don't know that. They don't even know who Sal Zelensky was.
She wrote her thesis.
But Barry, you know what a lot of people aren't realizing? Is China is taking over the country, and Islam is coming in, and China and Islam don't get along. China puts all Islam in, they put all the Islamists and all the Islamic people in prison camps,
right?
And repatriation camps. So where is it that it's going to be something where it's all this wonderful sunny ways that Trudeau wants? It's just not happening.
Well, I'll tell you something, gentlemen. I honestly believe right now there's sleeper cells in Canada right now.
And the
whole purpose of these sleeper cells, and this sounds pretty crazy to people that haven't gone down the rabbit holes and don't understand what is going on behind the scenes, but I believe that there's going to be a time that those people are going to be given the word go, and the whole purpose will be, of course, to create total chaos in our society, total social chaos, total military chaos, people killing other people. And we got to realize that we're dealing with people. If you look at the history of Islam, if you study them, if you look at the Quran, if you look at the pillars of Islam, if you study into their ideology, you'll know that the word katin is a word that they use very widely in their society. And they're allowed to deceive us. The whole purpose of their being is to deceive us. And there's going to come a time when I believe they're going to turn on us, and they're being supported by our government. Well, that would, of course, mean that the government might just turn their eyes to some heavy-duty machine guns or a few other toys going across the border because it's going to the chosen groups. I mean, we could be up against stuff that we have no defense against. I honestly believe that could happen in our society because it would have an unbelievable effect, cascading effect, all through Canada. Period.
And that's,
you know, that sounds a little far-fetched. If that sounds a little far-fetched, I don't think I'm too far-fetched. Jürgen, what do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. There are sleeper cells, and I had I guess it was kind of a nightmarish kind of a dream during my nap the other day where I envisioned one of these sleeper cells was unleashed on a small burg somewhere of maybe a couple of thousand people. And they unleashed maybe 50 or 100 of these clowns with just machetes and just to go apeshit in one of our little burgs. And that's, yep. You know, and that's not so far removed. You can call me a tin hat kind of guy. But if you look at the evolution, and we talked about that earlier, from Christianity to having no religion in the schools to now having Islamic prayer in our public schools, and now the shout out for Islamic call to prayer. Now, my take on all of that is, if you're an adult and you don't know what time prayer is, you've got to find another religion anyways, right? What do you need a call to prayer for? You should be able to figure that out for yourself. You don't need to infringe on the rights of your neighbor next door who doesn't want to hear that.
Absolutely. There are a lot of things to go on, buddy, and it's not going on in a lot of Canadian major cities right now. That tells you how deep the evil and how deep a group of people we're actually fighting in this country right now. It really does. It's not. To me, I sit back and I go, wow. You know, you look at everything that they control right now, all this power that they've made for themselves over society. I keep saying to myself, if Canadians don't all of us, like, really wake up, we need some way of stirring the population to a point where they're going to rise up in voice, because that's the only way we're going to stop this right now. Because this new power they've got with COVID-19, you know, they unleashed this so-called planned panic-edemic on our society, and they got the reaction. They got the exact reaction that they wanted from society. We've seen Canadians running into their houses, under their couches, hiding, you know, just leave us alone with our color TVs and our steel belt of radio tires and our toaster, you know.
And give me a check. Send me a check.
Yeah. Wow. Can you believe what's going on? And the effect in our society. Well, of course, Trudeau's created the problem, but he's the savior, man. You know, today I read they put out possibly 1 million phony fraudulent claims on that CR, whatever that thing is, the $2,000 check the government's sending to everybody. You know, send them an address and a name, and you got a check, you know? They're sending them out to prisoners. Who's prisoners?
I want to know.
What's going on?
There's got to be more of one very community that is prominently coming from.
Well, all I know is that that came out, and that report's pretty accurate. I mean, they're going to get to the bottom of this, and Canadians are going to hear about it. But you know what? It'll be just like any other news story in Canada. It'll be buried and quashed right away, and they'll cover some fuzzy bear
already
running down the street.
It was already. Justin Trudeau already said, just put it aside for it, so you know who was doing the corruptness.
Yeah.
He also said, we got to watch and we got to keep that border open because we don't want to get sued. By who?
Yeah, who's going
to
sue you?
What paper do you have, Justin Trudeau, that we're going to get sued? And nobody stepped up to it. I freaked out. I was screaming in my living room, and not one fucking person, social media, anyone caught it in the one.
Watch it, Mike.
Never caught
that's,
it.
That's the fourth time,
Mike. I'm going to drop you off
that's
the
fourth
show,
time.
Okay?
Oh, I'm
so I'll drop
last
this call.
Time I say that to you.
I will drop this call in a heartbeat. Barry won't have to.
You've got to watch your language, please. If you can't control it, I'll drop you off the show. Simple as that.
Okay, I'll get off the air now.
Okay, fair enough, Mike. Sorry. Talk to you later. Well, just the way it is, guys. If you can't respect that kind of a request on a show, then I don't know what to say to you. It's not a hard thing to do. I mean, when I'm not on the air, sure, I'll have a few words slip out of my mouth, but we're talking to people that do get offended by that kind of stuff. So let's continue on with our conversation. I didn't mean to interrupt the show there, but a couple, three times, and I just don't want that, okay? Sorry, guys. But, Jürgen, yeah, really seriously, what are we going to do, Jürgen, to wake? My question is, and I ask myself this every day, what can we do now at this particular point in history? We're up against the mainstream media. We're up against so many entities that are working against our values and our cultures in Canada. What can we do right now to really make a difference to turn this around? I'm going to answer that question after I let Jürgen answer that, and then I'm going to go to Dave, and then I'm going to give you a thought here. Jürgen.
That's one heck of a heavy question. If I had the answer to that, I'd be running for the leader of the free world.
Okay, a suggestion.
I'm no genius, but in my mind, I think we can solve all of this by going back to God, by remembering the tenets of the Ten Commandments, I think we can go back to sanity by everyone realizing that it's up to each and every soul to make sure that we have a good life. It's not up to somebody else where you get up in the morning and say, boy, I'm sure glad that other guy's looking after this for me. You got to get up every day and say, I've got to look after this for me. I've got to look after my family. I'm responsible for the freedoms that are around me. I carry the ball. I'm the ball carrier. I'm the quarterback, and I'm the receiver for the word of God. I am the guy who's going to pick up the sword and make sure that these things that are overwhelming us get taken over by us, because we are the righteous and we are the good people. It is time. God didn't say he was going to look after us. He knows that we have to sometimes pick up the sword ourselves, just like sometimes we throw a curse word out there because we get so emotionally wrapped up in all of this that we have to, because it's the only way we can express how deeply angered we are and how frustrated we are. So we throw those words out there that aren't acceptable. But it's those words, and it's the fact that we need to get that passion. We need to bring that together with the sword of God and fight back. But it's up to everybody. And in this country, we have, unfortunately, and we've talked about this so many times, so many people that are content. They think that all is good because of the lying media. And here's the thing. We don't need to storm Parliament Hill. We need to storm every office of the CBC and plunk you on a desk and me on a desk and shout out to the Canadian people what the truth is.
Amen. That's what we need to do. CBC for 24 hours.
We need to go to every... You know, I hear on July 1st, there's a big rally happening. They're going to Ottawa, and that's great. And I hope that all the patriots that go to Ottawa, I hope you can do something there, capture the parliament, whatever it is you're planning on doing. I wish you all the luck in the world. I'm here to tell you, I think the only thing that would work moving forward is if we take over the CBC buildings in every major city of this country. That way, patriots don't have to travel far. They just have to go to their local CBC office with as many patriots as possible and take those offices over.
After all, they're our offices.
We pay for them.
Yeah.
Pay for it.
We sure don't like what they're doing with our money.
They lie to us.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day they lie to the Canadian public. But of course, you know, it's all in the manifesto. I mean, you read it and you'll understand exactly what's going on.
It sure is.
Dave, what do you think? What can we do right now?
I'll tell you, one of the things that we need to do is we need to get back to the way Canada was in the first place. There wasn't all this racism and hate towards each other. The Liberals have created this.
Yeah.
The Liberals have created this division. And well, not just the Liberals. I mean, all the parties, realistically. I mean, with, for example, helmet laws and whatever. I mean, we're all supposed to be equal, treated equally, fairly. And that's what Canada is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be free people. We're allowed to think how we want to think. We're not programmed people to have to think one way, although that's what they're pushing. But I mean, if you look at it now, even with the gun ban that they want to push on us, it's not being pushed on the native population. It's not being pushed on Islamic populations. It's being pushed on Canadians, regular Canadians, everyday Canadians, law-abiding citizens. Just because people are nut bars, get a hold of illegal weapons and do something stupid, let's punish the whole population, which is ridiculous. This lockdown thing is crazy. We need to get back to uniting the populations. We need to get back to having the native population understand, along with the rest of us that are awake, that, look, Islam, should they be able to take over, and should they take over, they're not going to accept them either, because they don't have any idea of what it's like to have anybody other than them. And they're not going to tolerate any other religion or any other people thinking other than their way. And yeah. I'm sorry, but we need to get that point across to people. You can say get back to God. Yeah, look, you know, I agree to a point. I don't have Christian values. I have native values for the most part. I believe differently, but I don't knock anybody for their beliefs.
Every other religion in the world can get along with any other religion except Islam. Islam will not tolerate any other.
Well, they were stopped at the gates of Vienna in the 17th century, and if they weren't, they would have conquered the world. And they're back in our face again now, and we see it everywhere. We have to look at France and Germany and England and all these countries overseas that have massive populations of these people now, and we see what's going on in those countries. The same thing is coming to Canada.
But we don't see it because social media and Trudeau is censoring all that information.
I think a few Canadians are aware of it, and the more we get censored, the more Canadians are really starting to ask questions. I don't know. I don't want to give up. Listen, Dave, you know, I know we're overwhelmed right now. I really do. I sit back and I look at all the things that are working against us and how much we have to push back against. And some days, honestly, I just want to say, hey, I want to throw my hands up and go fishing and forget about it. And when they come knocking on my door, I'll take a – I can't say that on the air. I won't go out on my knees, but I can't do that. I've got to talk about this every day because Canadians just aren't getting it. A majority of the population still don't understand it. If they do understand it and they don't care, then I don't know what to say to those individuals, because to me, this is the most important thing that we can do at this particular point in our lives. We got to look at what is going on, what the future is. I mean, if you want your grandchildren to have their genitals mutilated, if you want to live in a society where they'll take your head off if you don't follow radical Islamic Sharia doctrine, then that's where we're going with this country. And those are the people that are running this country right now. They've infiltrated all levels of our government. It's going to take a major effort from people in this country to stop it right now. What do you think, Jürgen? Can we stop it?
I don't know, Barry. It takes the will of the people, like you said, and we don't seem to have the will of the people behind us. You know, I think back to 1976. There was a time Pierre Trudeau was prime minister, and in 1976, Canadians don't know this, but he passed at that that year over 3,000. Okay, get this, over 3,300 orders of what do you call it? Orders of council. Orders in council, over 3,300, okay? And not a single one of those orders in council was ever questioned by any opposition in our country. They were just totally passed. And in the same year, the country of Britain had 10 orders in council, and every one of those was under parliamentary review before they got parliamentary approval. The 3,300 passed by Pierre Trudeau, not a single person in our governance questioned any of it. Ever since that day, our parliamentary process has been nothing but a mirage. It's just been nothing but smoke and mirrors. And that's been 1976. I've been screaming about that, but then nobody pays attention. Nobody cares. So you're asking me in 2020, after I've spent a lifetime trying to make people aware of this stuff, I don't know what it's going to take, Barry, because they, you know, my whole life I've been poo-pooed. My whole life I've been the guy that has gone to meetings that I've gone to. I've been involved with the Human Rights Institute. As you know, I was on the board of directors there. I was on the board of directors of Canadians for Language Fairness. I'm still a director at large for that organization. I've been fighting my entire life. And yet I get friends all around me and people I used to work with that just used to slap me on the back and say, thank God you're doing this for us. And I would say, well, what's wrong with you? You know, at the same time, my wife was almost dying with tainted blood scandal. As you know, she was a victim of that. My mother had Alzheimer's disease. I was looking after her after my dad passed away. And I had two boys in high school. And all these guys are patting me on the back because I'm doing something. I'm saying, well, what's wrong with you? Why don't you have time to go to meetings? You know, you got time to go to dinner. You got time to go to movie once a month. Why don't you go to one friggin' meeting once a month? Just one. And make your voice heard. Put a politician up against the wall. Ask a few questions. Just once in your life. Show some responsibility for the freedom you so valiantly want to claim is yours. It's not yours unless you fight for it.
Amen. Amen. You're going to couldn't have said that better. That's the truth.
It is the truth. And I'm sick and tired of it. My entire life has been like that. Ever since 1967, when I put my hand to my heart and I swore allegiance to this country, that meant something to me. Even though I became a Trudeau youth, and I helped elect that son of a gun in Ottawa back in 1968. I made sure that he got elected because I got caught up in all of that, because I felt it was my responsibility as a new Canadian citizen to partake in the process. And, of course, I got sucked into that whole Trudeau mania thing as a young kid. And all my friends whose fathers were diplomats and bureaucrats and all these people high up in the political scene in Ottawa. So I got thrown into embassy parties. I was at all these different functions as an 18-year-old brand new Canadian, even though I'd been in the country since I was 5 years old, 6 years old as a kid, right? So the transition of our country from those days when we had those kinds of opportunities, where opportunities, you could get a job on your way home from work, no problem. And there was no quota. There was no notion that we have, you know, there's so many women in the population, so you have to have so many women at work. There's so many Philippines, so you better have a Philippine. All this nonsense. It was all based on merit. And if you could do the bloody job. That's what it was all based on, and that's how you got your job, and that's how you built your way up to become a CEO of a company. That's how it worked. We changed all that. And it wasn't just us. Corporate crony capitalism came along and took away the free market system, right? That's what happened, in conjunction with governance. They combined to change the free market system to the crony capitalist system, and now everybody's turning socialist because they don't like capitalism. It's retarded.
But Climate Barbie said, our carbon tax is going to save the world, man.
Of course.
Now what, they're going to double it? They have doubled it now. They've added, what, they've put it up by another 50%? They're not going to stop there, folks. Boy, oh boy, what a money grab.
No, they're not.
No, it's just going to continue, and Canadians are going to continue to take this. And I give me that. That's another subject that just absolutely drives me insane. The whole climate scam just drives me insane. We don't have time to talk about that tonight, but it's just another example of how sheepish people are. Period.
This whole lockdown is a scam.
Biggest scam ever played on the human race. It's bigger than 9/11, eh?
It is, and they've instilled so much fear in people. Now, like, you know, in 1776, the Americans, 3% of the population, stood up and said, that's enough, with your British rule. It only took 3%. We can't even get 3% that want to stand up here in Canada. They all, you know, they're all big talkers, but they don't want to get involved because of fear. They could be killed. You know what? That's what it's coming to. We're all going to be killed anyway. So it's either now or never. Live for something or die for nothing. It's that simple.
Simple. Yeah. Right.
It really is. It's that simple. Get your heads out of your butts and look at the reality of this. Yeah, look at the big picture.
The problem is, sorry, Barry, but the problem is you look at the last election, guys, and the one thing that just strikes me, not the fact that Trudeau won, but the fact that you had so many voters voting socialist in our country. That's the bottom line. We've got a divide of some, especially in the metropolitan areas, that like their bicycles. They like being able to walk to their jobs. They don't care if you have a car or not. They want to destroy the whole automobile industry. So you've got this tremendous divide between rural and urban in the first place. And who are you going to vote for? The people in the city vote for all those socialist policies that keep that herd mentality intact. The people out in the rural areas are going to vote for somebody who says rah-rah for the individual, grow your own stuff and have your own cow and your own pig, right? The twain shall never meet between those two, because the people in the urban areas are still going to think that their meat comes from the grocery store, not from the farmer's field, because that's what they're still going to be taught in our school systems. Even after we get out of this, it's going to be even worse. Have you seen the regimen they want to put the kids under going to school? Are you kidding me?
I
talked to a school bus driver. I said, how are you going to take the kids to school? Are you going to have 25 runs, the same run that took you one run? You're going to have 25 because you got one kid on a seat, and then six seats forward, you got another kid? You only got five kids on your whole bus? Like, what are you doing? Because
that's insane. I saw that.
You're going to have them 6 feet apart at school. How are you going to do that?
Exactly. Well,
the good news is we got another wave coming. Guaranteed. They've already said it. They've announced it.
Yeah.
Now they're talking about a third. They're talking about the next wave now.
And now they're announcing and saying that now affecting children. So, boy, this is. I mean, they're going to take this in so many different directions. You know what, folks? If you think that this world is ever going to go back to what it was before this started, you are being a fool about what you see right now, because you give the government, you give these powers to be this kind of control, this kind of power over people. They poked us. They got the reaction they wanted. You think this is good? Wait till you see what comes next. Am I crazy, Jürgen?
No, you're not.
This is exactly where it's going to go.
This is
the continuation. The new norm. The new norm. That's all we hear on radio and TV now. The new norm.
You don't want to hear that anymore. That's disgust, a disgusting phrase, just like social distancing is a disgusting phrase. Essential and non-essential is a disgusting phrase. So they found new ways to divide us at the same time as they found new ways to make us afraid. And that's what they're constantly doing. Never ending, keeping us in fear, never ending division, never ending ways to find to control us. And through division and fear, that's the easiest way. And Canada has been a petri dish for all of this ever since Maurice Strong stepped out of his friggin' groundhog hole in Quebec back in the day and was one of the major players in developing the United Nations and their programs that they're running now.
Well,
he died a wealthy man in China in his friggin' mansion in China.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when in the last election, during my debates, one of the things that I kept bringing up was the fact that, listen, this is what Trudeau is saying. Trudeau is saying that European Canadians, Christian Canadians, are the worst part of society. He's outright saying that. Is anybody listening to this? And look at Jagmeet Singh on the other side. All Canadians are racist. Doesn't that wake you up enough to say, hey, wait a minute here, something's wrong with this picture? Or you just accept that as, well, that's the way it is in Canada? Because it's not.
We did, Dave. People like you and I did, but the rest of them didn't, did they? I've got a whole group of actor friends back in Ottawa. They just think it's hunky-dory the way things are going. It's unbelievable.
What? What?
They didn't care.
I'm not a smart man. I'm not an intelligent guy. But how could anybody look at what's going on in this country right now and be good with that? You know how much money this government has spent on COVID-19? You know how much money they're going to spend going forward? You know what that creates in our society? You know the tyrannical government that's rising out of these subsidies, businesses, rent, people getting $2,000 a month? They don't want to go back to work. The government's looking after us. Do you know where this is going, folks?
Socialism or communism, whatever.
Of course. And the people are gobbling it up. And I sit back, I got people around me bragging, oh, I got my $4,000 for the government. Isn't it great? I'm going to go home, sit in my little castle, watch TV, do something around the house. And I'll get my check again next month. Isn't that great? Are you insane?
And see, for
that's
me.
What I hear, man. That's the mentality of people. They're being conditioned to accept this. The government is setting up a socialist society. We're so close to a full-blown dictatorship in Canada. It's unbelievable. And people still can't see the trees for the forest. Jürgen, what do you think? And then I'll get back to Dave, because we've got about 12 minutes left.
No, you're right. I mean, we're carrying on this conversation as if it's a dead end, because it is what it is, right? What are you going to do? You're looking at a guy who was elected that never worked a day in his life, that was pumped up by a media that gets billions of dollars every year. You can't become a governor general now in our country unless you work for the CBC, it seems, right? And that goes to another thing. We have a completely useless governor general who sits there and has done absolutely nothing for the last 4 years, where she should have had this guy kicked out in the SNC-Lavalin when that thing happened. But then again, It goes to the corrupt police force that we have, the RCMP, that is totally corrupt at the top end. Again, we have a judicial system that is so wrapped up in this charter and the British common law that has them so confused that every courthouse is its own little kingdom. So that's the mess we're in. And Canadians will never look at that. They will still look back and say, it's still the best darn country in the world. I look at what that stupid Trump is doing, and I feel so good that I'm a Canadian. That's the nature of what we are. That's what we are now. It's ridiculous. It's sad. Very sad.
Well, see, for me, the RCMP situation is more, they were so accustomed to being baggage handlers, they forgot to be cops. And what the stuff out east is what proved it to me.
They should have refused to be baggage handlers, shouldn't they?
Yeah, well,
look who's running. Look who's running the RCMP, Brenda Lucky. Look at her connections. Look at who she's tied in with.
They can make a decision on their own. They can decide whether or not they're going to be on the law side or on the corruption side, which is the liberal government, really. Well, all government now.
All government.
Well, the reality is that they can. Some of these guys realize it. But some of them don't. They're still programmed to believe what they're being told.
Well, I'll make a deep statement, okay, and I'll get you to add a little thought on what I'm going to say here. All these people that are involved in what we see going on in our world right now, the destruction of society, the complete change and the turning upside down that we're seeing in society, well, you know, they all think that they've got a ticket to the big party. But, you know, honestly, I believe that they're one step up a rung from you and me. That these people that are behind the curtains, that's what I'll call them, I have no intention of having these second, third, fourth rung individuals in our society that are helped perpetrate this agenda against their fellow man are ever going to be invited to the big party. And I take peace of mind knowing that they're going to be disposed of just like you and me. They're just one step or two steps up the rung. They might be alive a little bit longer than you and me, but their fate's the same as yours and mine, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. I wish I could make them understand that. What do you think about that crazy statement, Jürgen?
Maybe even before us, because people like that, there is no honor for the ones who want to kill them. They know they have no honor, so they probably want to kill them first. They know that we have honor, right? We have honor because we're soldiers. We're not like those wimps that succumb to them. So they laugh at them. They take what they can from them. They're laughing at them. How much do you think they're laughing at Justin Trudeau? Here's the other thing. You heard what I heard today? I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but the NDP is begging for money. They have no money.
Yeah, they're asking
the Trudeau government. He's looking for the taxpayer for money.
Everybody is except for the Bloc.
Where's all this money coming from, guys?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, when you own the mint, I guess you can print as much as you want. People don't realize, they have no idea of the financial repercussions of what's going on with this. But you know what? They understand exactly what they're doing, and it's all going to ramp up the total collapse of our system. In comes cyber currency. In comes a digital chip that you are going to be forced to have in your body. We're going to see all these changes coming, guys, and I honestly believe that. I see it all coming at light speed right now. I see all these things setting up. And boy, all it's going to take out of these maniacs is one major false flag event. They bring society completely under control, and boom, we're there. They wouldn't care if they killed 3 million people to perpetrate the agenda. They wouldn't. One good nuclear bomb in an American city, and you want to see society turn upside down. That sounds crazy. Nothing is out of their playbook. And we're down to about 7 minutes, so I'm going to go. We're down about 6 minutes here, so I'm going to let Jürgen have a few minutes to say something, and you, Dave, and I'll have to close out this first hour, guys. I got a couple other people coming in for the second hour, but it's a pleasure having you on. Jürgen first, please.
Okay, well, thanks. First of all, thanks a lot for having me back, Barry. I really appreciate it. And Dave, good to chat with you today. It's wonderful having a conversation with fellow patriots. I see you on Facebook all the time, and it's good to see you live and in person. Barry, the thing again I want to focus on and that I'd like to tell everybody is focus on love, focus on your family, focus on getting together as much as you can with family and friends. Don't listen to the media narrative. They lie to you. What they tell you, believe the opposite for the most part. They are very good at lying and deceiving, and through omission and through deception, they are guiding you towards the wrong path. They are leading you down the wrong path. Do not be afraid of what your gut tells you. Have faith in God. Be positive. Wake up every day with a positive attitude. Try to exercise a little bit. Try to stay happy, because being happy is your decision. You get up in the morning, and if you're happy, they don't like that. Okay, if you're happy, they're going to come after you, because they don't like happy people. They like misery. They like feeding on your misery. So with that, I'll go. Try to stay positive. Be happy, everybody. Great show. Thanks a lot for having me, Barry. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jurgen.
Dave, Jurgen, I love having you on, brother. We'll do it again soon. Dave.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you, you know, for me, I go where I want, when I want, and I don't listen to the stuff that's going on. I really don't. I don't listen to this nonsense about COVID. Yeah, I'm at risk because I have COPD and that. But you know what? The reality is, I don't know how much life I have left, but I'm going to be free as long as I have my life. It's that simple. And realistically, that's the one thing they can't take away from me. They can do all kinds of things to me, but the reality is they can't take my freedom, which is really William Wallace's thing, but that's how I'm going to live. There needs to be more wolves or more sheep dogs and less sheep. There's too many sheep out there.
Well said, Dave. And I agree. But we're at that pinnacle now. I honestly believe that if we don't find a mechanism, and every day I ask myself for guidance to find this, to get Canadians really unified in a way that we haven't unified since the Second World War. That's what's necessary in our society right now, and I'm going to continue to search for that mechanism to bring people together. We have to put a stop to this. We have to, because the end game is ugly. It's very, very ugly, and I don't think any of us ever want to go there. At least if we're doing what we're doing right now, we can look in the mirror and say to ourselves that at least we tried, that we did, and stay silent. And I wish everybody that's listening to this show would maybe take that as an example. Look in the mirror and say, hey, am I doing what I can? Is this really something that I should focus on? Should it be on the top of my list of priorities in my life? I say absolutely yes. Thanks for joining me, Jurgen and Dave. And I got Duke Willis and Dave Pepforce coming up for the next hour. We're going to talk a little bit about other solutions. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes.
One more quick thing, Barry, can I say one more quick thing? If people want to do something, get out to these lockdown protests. Get out and have your voice heard there. That's a start.
That's a start. Okay, thanks again, guys, and I am going to take a break because I've got to go empty my bladder, and I'll be back in a few minutes.
to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks to the guys that were in the first hour there, Jurgen, Dave, and Mike for the first little bit there. It was a great conversation. Enjoyed that, really. And we'll get Jurgen back in and Dave in real back. And as soon as I get back from the bush from picking mushrooms, because you guys know I am heading out here pretty quick to go hide a little bit in the bush. I do it every year, and as long as this old body will keep doing it, something I got to go do. It kind of gives me time to test the earth and charge my batteries up. Second hour here, I got Doug Force and Duke Wilson with me. I've had both these gentlemen on multiple times on my shows in the past. I get together and have a little chat about the insanity going on in this this great country called Canada. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Good evening, Barry. Pleasure to be back. Thank you very much for having me yet again.
And Duke, I'm going to start off with your pet peeve of the week. Gentlemen, I always like starting my shows off like that. So, really, what's going on in the last week that's really pushed your buttons there, Duke, on top of all the regular stuff that pushes our buttons?
That's easy. Bah! 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 They're everywhere. Bah! I can't go to the bathroom without finding bah! Honest. You know the only thing that gives me any peace in all of this? I realize that I'm living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the day's going to come when I'm going to follow Lot and just leave the sheep for their own reckoning. Bah! Bah!
Yeah. Just don't look back.
Yeah, I'm serious. Folks, you're all going to say, oh, Duke, you're such a negative person. No, I'm not. There's a reason Noah didn't lock the door. Or Noah kept the door locked on the ark. Like, I'm sorry, folks. The bah of our society are going to wind up mutton chops. That's just reality.
What do you think there, Mr. Force? How are you going to add to that?
Well, okay, so it's really not a pet peeve, but Alex Jones announced today Joe Rogan has moved to Spotify. He's dumped YouTube because YouTube was deleting and editing his deleting his videos of his interviews of doctors during this coronavirus thing, right. And he'd had enough, and so Joe Rogan, who goes out to literally millions, said to YouTube and the people at Google, we'll see you, boys. And he signed a deal to go on to Spotify. And I thought, holy moly. Now, that's not a peeve. That's a good on you.
That's huge.
That is massive.
That's massive.
And part of his Spotify contract was that he could have... what's his name on his show? Oh, I just said it's Alex Jones on his show. Part of his Spotify contract that he signed guaranteed that he could bring Alex Jones on as a guest.
I hadn't seen that, Doug, but if you think about that one for 30 seconds, that's got to put a big, big smile on your face.
It does. And so all the peeves that I had all week just kind of went, oh, gosh almighty, look at that. Isn't that wonderful? Because finally, somebody with enough followers has told Google enough is enough.
I'll bet you they're having an emergency meeting about this one, Doug, because that doesn't look good on them at all. What are we going to do about this one, boys?
I bet you they're having an emergency. Oh, gee, we lost 0.01% of our annual income. Oh, my.
Well, not that, Duke. It's the amount of people that listen to Joe Rogan and the fall-off effect of what he has to say. So, you know, the old story, you tell somebody something and they agree and they look into it and find out it's true, you're going to have 10 people told by that person. And that's what we need.
They thought the same. Everybody said the same thing when YouTube booted Alex Jones off. they said, oh, that's it. Everybody's going to leave YouTube. Well, no.
No.
People keep going back to YouTube.
No. First of all, Alex Jones had not even one-tenth of the followers of Joe Rogan. Alex Jones presented a different type of POV where Rogan brings on everybody. He has, and everybody wants to go on and talk with Rogan.
And, I agree.
And now this is like this, it's the shot across the bow of these companies in Silicon Valley who dictate to us the what we can say and what we cannot say. With Rogan leaving, it's a whole different attitude, I'll Absolutely. Tell you. Because the sheep, you're all your sheep, Duke, they tune into Rogan. They and all the woken people tune into Rogan. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, you're a conservative or you're a libtard. They all watch Rogan to some degree or another because he's not scared to put everybody on his show. If Donald Trump ever did an online interview, it would be with Joe Rogan.
Probably.
Well, that might just happen. You never know.
Exactly.
Come on. I mean, I've been sitting here thinking about this for the last couple of minutes, Doug, and you know, it's good because we're taking that and we're adding to that a lot of the information now that's coming out about COVID-19 and just how big a hoax this is, and a lot of the common people now are starting to really start to pay attention to this.
Barry, if you look around the world, it's not just the common people. Italian politicians are standing up federal government screaming at the top of their lungs. I watched one elderly politician in
Italy.
Yeah, I
watched that one too.
The gray-haired guy.
Yeah,
he had that, both his...
He was ready to... He was like, there was steam coming out of his ears, man.
Oh, it reminded...
It was awesome.
It reminded me of, like, 1960s, 1970s... local store owners in Thorold, which we used to call Little Italy, a very heavily Italian part of St. Catharines. Well, it's a separate city, Thorold. And everybody talked with their hands up in the air, screaming and yelling across the street, right? Even if they were happy, their hands were up in the air talking. It's how they communicated across the street. And I watched this politician, and I'm reading the subtitles at the bottom as it goes by, right? About how he was screaming about how our national health system has been falsifying records, claiming COVID-19 deaths that had nothing to do with COVID-19.
Well, I watched there's a video, a gentleman by the name of William Mount puts out these updated, about 20-minute videos every day. And 2 days ago, I actually posted this on my timeline on Facebook. He had from the CBC or CDC in South Korea showing that COVID-19 is done. It's gone. According to the CDC, they wouldn't publish it. It's written in English. It was on their website in South Korea, but it's for the entire world. The CDC... virus is now no longer, it's been 2 weeks since they had an actual death from COVID-19 globally. So it's done. And they published it on the South Korea site so nobody would find it. But this guy brought it out. He had it on CDC letterhead, the whole nine yards with the graph on it showing that there isn't going to be a second wave of COVID-19, it's done.
And all you hear about now on the media is the second wave is coming, the second wave is coming. British Columbia government's guaranteed a second wave is coming. The World Health Organization, guaranteed. Now you have them bringing out this concept of it affecting children in a way now. They're going to use every mechanism. All I'm saying is they're going to use every mechanism possible to deceive the sheeple. Okay?
And Trump, has put, as I don't know whether you saw the last time Trump did a press conference with Dr. Fauci.
Yep.
He told him before he went on stage that you're not going to say another word, period. And so Fauci put a mask on and stood social distance and back. So he was still in frame, and he's standing there with his mask on because Trump told him, that's enough. You're not talking anymore. He defunded the WHO.
Yep.
That administration, at least the people around Trump who are part and parcel of having enough is enough. He gave the governors of the United States, each governor of the state, the ability to open their state when they wanted to. He said, I'm not going to dictate to the governors. They know better. They're boots on the ground. They can see what's going on. They have their own medical people. I'm stepping away. And now you look what's happening down there. There's states opening up all the time because now the governors are going, oh, my God. And guess what states they are? These are the flyover states. These are the smart ones. You get California Governor Newsom come out and goes, if you're going to go to the beach, you got to social distance, but you can't go swimming.
Well, love Trump or hate him, you've got to love him defunding the WHO. You've got to love that because I've looked into the background of the WHO, and you have, Doug, you know all about him. So does Duke. And Everybody thinks that that's a good organization, truly has their head in the sand. And now, but the good news is, of course, that Trudeau is going to step up the plate and make up the difference from Canada. He's going to make sure that he's got all the funding they need. What a joke. Go ahead, Duke.
First of all, if you think the WHO, the World Health Organization, or any worldwide organization is a worthwhile or valuable entity and you should put any sort of credibility to what it has to say, sand is not where your head is planted. I would like to go...
I'm sorry, Duke.
Well, I was told we're not allowed to drop the F-bomb, so I won't tell people to something off. I will just simply look at them and tell them off is the general direction in which I would like you to fornicate. I can be politically correct when needed. Now, I would like to get back to this U.S. situation, Doug, because you touched on something that I want to point out to people for several reasons. Our listeners in Canada, around the world in many other countries, but specifically in Canada, as that's where Doug and I are from and Barry is from, many of you have been throwing around the word Constitution and sovereign state. Doug Force, just a minute ago, mentioned how President Trump has stepped back and said, nope, the states have the power, not Washington. Doug, how is it that, let's use Montana as an example. How did the state of Montana go about becoming a member of the union?
Well, and you know as well as I do that that's a charged question because it's all 49 of the states went through the same thing. They all started off by holding a constitutional convention and creating their own state constitution. Now, they had to be sovereign. And basically, when they held and held and ratified their own state constitution, they became a sovereign nation. And in order to join the Union of the United States, that was the process that they had to go through. So they had to create a Republic of Montana. In other words, the state of Montana, the government of the state of Montana is a republic, the same as the Republic of the United States Constitution. So when they did that and it was fully ratified, only then could they join the federal union under the Constitution of the United States. And I say this in Canada, because I've been talking to this new political party out in Alberta who wants to write a constitution for all of Canada. And I said, well, you know, you can't put the cart in front of the horse. First of all, you got to do a constitutional convention. There's a proper way to do it. You do a constitutional convention with elected delegates.
It's all documented.
Thank you very much. And when you ratify the constitution for the province of Alberta, which will become the Republic of Alberta or the country of Alberta, whatever you want to call it, and all the other provinces and territories do that, only then, and only then, can you then call for a constitution to create a federal authority. Before that, you can't do any of that. And I said, you're wasting your time if you think that you can create a constitution for the federal government. The federal government became de facto in 1931, December the 12th, 1931, de facto. Okay. Today, they're a maritime incorporation. Anyways, I'm sorry.
I want to get back to President Trump and what he is doing here, ladies and gentlemen, because I know, Barry, you've got a lot of American listeners. I want them to understand in maybe not exact 100% perfect terms, but a way of looking at what he's doing. President Trump is, for the first time in a long time, stepping back and saying, you know what? Each and every one of these states is a sovereign country on its own. We, as the collective authority, cannot control them. They collectively control Washington, not the other way around. And that's basically what Trump has said when he has said it's up to the states to make up their own minds. He's recognizing the state's authority as the true sovereign states, which are the foundation, not the subjects or property of the foundation of the federal government. Without those sovereign states, there would be no federal government.
So, Barry, earlier this week on Wednesday, I was on – this is for your American listeners, by the way. I was on a show called Caravan to Midnight with a gentleman by the name of John B. Wells.
I love him.
And he had me on for – well, we were scheduled to do about an hour, hour and a half. We finished Caravan to Midnight after 2 hours. And we talked about something that I had been doing down there years ago called Bamboozle the Receding of the Republic. And basically I did a version for him, for his listening audience, to understand how they can take the power back that's been usurped from we the people from as far back as 1878. And I had a lot of fun doing it. What a really cool guy. And I've been getting a lot of response back through the email at The Myth is Canada from the people that have been listening to this. And they're waking up. I'm scheduled tomorrow to go on a show out of Boston, Massachusetts, to talk to the American people about The Myth is Canada. And so...
Good work. Good work.
Well, I mean...
I've listened to Caravan to Midnight lots of times.
And the wonderful thing is, it's not just this side of the border that's waking up. The Americans are waking up. They've had enough. I have to put out a thank you, and I hope Mr. Trudeau is listening. I hope Dr. Tam is listening. I hope Krista Freeland is listening. I hope they're all listening, because thank you very much for what you've done by locking we the people in and allowing them not only to homeschool their children, but learn about what's really going on. The Netflix ran out about a month and a half ago. Hulu ran out about the same time, along with Amazon. Now, we have increased our viewership at The Myth is Canada almost double.
I see the thanks every day, Doug. I really do.
And I got to thank Mr. Trudeau and Dr. Tam and all these other libtard morons for locking down the economy. Gosh almighty, you guys have done out. Bang up job for people like myself. I know Barry Prince's audience has increased. I know Duke Willis. Duke has been doing some pretty cool stuff of late. He's been working with some animation software and having a lot of fun. Bringing lots of these things. We put them up on the Facebook page. I've Twittered them out. I know Duke Twitters them out. They get retweeted, and they're being shared across Facebook now. And it's 2 to 4 minutes of truth.
Yeah, well, you know, I love having you in, Doug, and Duke, because I've said it many times, you know, this old brain of mine doesn't retain the kind of information you guys put out, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing that with people. I sure can't put it out like that. I'm just an old guy with a passion for what I see going on right now, and it's driving me insane. I just kind of want people to use a little common sense in their life and to question everything and to really take a look at what's going on around them. The one thing that has encouraged me and has really kind of inspired me here in the last couple of weeks is that people in my community, people that, you know, years ago, they would literally call me a conspiracy nut, ask me how much cannabis I've been smoking, and maybe they could get some of it at the same time. And, you know, I've been ridiculed a little bit. Those same people now are coming forward and really engaging in heart-to-heart conversations. It's something that's really inspired me here, especially with five or six individuals like that come to mind right away that, you know, they're really starting to go like that. They're asking questions like, what the heck is going on in this country? There's no secret anymore. It's not hiding from us anymore. It's right in our faces, man. Period.
Well, and it really doesn't get any more blatant than to have, I call it the planned demic, because it certainly is nothing more, if you ever caught this stuff, it's nothing more than a mild flu or a real nasty cold. And the only people that actually die from it are people with an immune system that's already compromised. It has a zero mortality rate for anybody under 70 who doesn't have a compromised immune system. So
I can actually back that number up a little bit, Doug.
Cool. Go for it.
I have, well, you know, Doug, that I used to be in the financial industry, in the mutual funds industry, and I reached out to a buddy of mine who does financial analysis. He's a numbers cruncher, okay? And a week ago, I said to him, go find the government numbers. What's the death rate from COVID-19 in Ontario? You want to know what the percentage is of you dying from COVID-19 in Ontario based on the Ontario population and the number of deaths to date as of May 8th? As of May 8th, your odds of dying from COVID-19 in Ontario were 0.0014%.
Those numbers are right across the country, Duke. If you look at the actual numbers, and of course they're hiding this, they're going to do everything they can to hide this from the public. But if you actually look at the numbers, you know, this thing doesn't have the knockdown power of a seasonal flu virus. It's just being flamed by mainstream media. Everything we hear is, I mean, look at the projections. When they first came out with this, I remember the first week, the projections for the United States of America. They were saying they were going to see possibly 1.5 million deaths.
1.5 to 2.6 million.
Yeah, yep. It was the first projections they made. People just absolutely started freaking. This is the Black Plague. This is the worst thing that's ever hit society. And they all ran into their living rooms and hid.
It's unbelievable. The Martians are coming. The Martians are coming.
They don't question. I mean, and then you look at the effect on people's lives, the suicide rates, the child domestic violence, household violence. All those numbers have skyrocketed.
Now, Barry. Like
tens of thousands of visitors, small businesses have now shut that are never going to open again.
Barry. And so, did what they wanted it to, right, Doug?
Yeah, well, and now in some states, the suicide rate in some states is almost double the COVID
19 deaths.
COVID-19 deaths. Well, and the guy that you're talking about, his computer model that used that, that's Neil Ferguson. Neil Ferguson was, I'm going to say, because he is no longer a lead professor at the Imperial College. They fired him. Well, actually, he quit because he broke his own quarantine to go sleep with a married woman. He was having an affair with this married woman while he was under, after testing positive for COVID-19. Wow. He went out in public to go and have sex with this woman, not once, not twice, but three times, and so when she was a climate activist, so she came forward and said she ratted him out.
Wow!
And he lost his job, and he got everybody. But here's the thing: he's the one that nobody's holding him to an account. His software was flawed. It didn't matter what numbers you put in. It always gave a different result. You could put the same numbers in 10 times in a row and 10 different results. Now, that's what he based these numbers on worldwide deaths. And it's just absolutely criminal that this guy isn't in jail being and going to be tried for crimes against humanity. The same absolutely. With Bill Gates. The Bill Gates is the same thing. Dr. Fauci, the same thing.
World put Health him in Organization. Change. Same thing.
Put Tam in chains and lock him up.
I've been telling people for weeks, whether it's Fauci or the guy at Canadian Tire telling you, stand right there, stand right. You can't take a half a step forward. It doesn't matter who they are. They all get the same sentence from me. The words "I was just following orders" didn't save men from going in front of the firing squad or walking the steps of the gallows.
Yeah, that's Nuremberg trials. I was following the orders was not an excuse.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just following orders, treating you like cattle. Ladies and gentlemen, the next time you walk into a store thinking, oh, look, we can come in, and you see aisles blocked off and you feel like you're being herded like cattle or like wildebeest on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with Marlon Perkins and they're fielding the wildebeest into the corral so that my partner Jim is going to wrestle this wildebeest, and Jim kind of looks at him like, yeah, right. Yeah, if you feel like one of those wildebeest when you go into your corner store or your local Piggly Wiggly or your Canadian Tire or your Walmart or your Home Depot, treated like cattle going through there, the day's going to come pretty damn soon when you need to remember who treated you like cattle and who forced you to comply with the lies.
Well, and here's the wonderful thing. Do you know?
I'm just going to step outside here for about 30 seconds, so just keep talking, okay? I'll be back in 30 seconds.
I was going to say, well, you know about social distancing, and you know that there were no studies done, absolutely no medical studies at all done on social distancing. It was created by the administrators in government, and it was created for one thing and one thing only, to keep people separate. And this, we will continue to have social distance because the new cameras that are being deployed in the major city centers across Canada for facial recognition need to have separation in order to work properly, along with the new 5G networks that have come out for the apps that they slip onto your phone for tracking. If you're clustered, they can't track you anymore. So they created this fictional thing called social distancing that keep you at a distance. And I thought it was funny. So it's 6 feet, not 4 feet, not 5 feet, not 7 feet, but 6 feet. How deep do we bury a body?
6 feet.
Yeah, maybe. There you go. Isn't that interesting? Why would they choose 6 feet? I thought you'd get a giggle out of that one, Duke. This is the Duke and Doug show, seeing that Barry's no longer with us.
Well, Barry, now you make it sound like we're going to a funeral. Barry's no longer with us. Oh, no, he will be sadly missed. He's gone to that great cookie heaven in the sky.
He social distanced himself 6 feet.
My stupid phone is making noise here.
Somebody's calling you.
What happened to Barry?
Barry stepped out for a second. Oh, okay. We're just having some fun here, Steve.
I see.
Again, with the 6 feet social distancing, 6 feet underground. Uh-huh. Barry stepped out. He did his social distancing for 6 feet. Just because he had to be 6 feet from the microphone. Oh, no. I got to say this. Guys driving around in their cars with their windows rolled up with gloves and a mask on by themselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do they go to bed at night by themselves with a condom on? That's what I want to know.
That's the new norm. That's the new normal.
Hey, you know what? I remember when Dr. Ruth said she was commenting about the norm, and she flipped over and said, as far as I'm concerned, Norm is a guy that lives in Brooklyn. So don't start talking to me about the new norm.
But that's all you hear on TV and radio everywhere you go now. It's the new norm, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Silliness.
Programming the sheeple.
Well, there was, I saw on a Facebook page, something, I can't remember now where I saw it. It was, they had pictures of cars going through a drive-thru at Starbucks in the U.S., social distancing. I'm not.
I saw that. They must maintain the social distancing in our cars. You cannot get your car within 1 car length of my Volkswagen, or my Volkswagen could get infected by your Volkswagen. You must maintain social distancing.
Did they have somebody out there with a tape measure and check to make sure that people weren't violating?
I don't know. That's
a $550 fine right on the spot, buddy. And if you phone it in, if you actually report it in, you get $550.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean,
well, that's where they're going, Doug.
Well, you see what happened to Cody Holler the other day up at the.
Yeah, I saw that.
They wrote him a ticket. Okay, in Edmonton, they wrote him a ticket for breaching the Health Act 71.3, I think it was, of the Health Act. Okay, and well, there was no fine. They didn't write any fine in there. And then he goes home, he looks it up. There is no such thing. There is no 70.
Yeah, I saw that. But
they wanted to shut him up. So how do they shut you up? They drag you off the stage and pretend to charge you with something that has a fine attached to it. And
but they never attached the fine.
Well, but no, but it got him off the stage. It's also making him internet famous now. I mean, he's but the point that I'm trying to make is these jackboots, these policy enforcement officials, because they're not police officers, they're not peace officers. These are policy enforcement officials for the Corporation of Edmonton. And that's, you know, there's good ones out there. There's good cops, and then there's the policy enforcement officials. These are the guys that walk around and they arrest you. They're not wearing a mask. They're not wearing gloves. They jump on you. They throw you down. And you can see them all over the place. And we had in here in Toronto, a friend of mine was downtown, and he says, the cops were out today and they were checking people for social distancing. He said they were 10 cops on a corner. They were all chatting to each other, no masks, no gloves, and they were all within 2 feet of each other, and yet they were walking around with their ticket books, two by two, fining people $650 fines for not properly social distancing.
Well, now see, guys, you see, that's because Doug, you live in the big city.
You gotta laugh.
See, here in Niagara, the police have a much different approach to things. They pick you up 3 times in a row and they take you to the mental health clinic at the hospital. The hospital boots you out 12 hours later. 3 days later, the cops pick you up and take you back. Do that 3 times. On the 4th trip, they just shoot you, put a knife beside your dead body, and tell everybody you had a weapon. Problem solved. See, years ago, Metropolitan Toronto Police, what they used to do is they'd take you for a stop-and-go ride down by Cherry Beach, where the recycling depot is now. They'd put you in the – now, this is back when they had the metal cages, not the plexiglass, the metal cages. Right. You'd sit in the back of the cruiser with your hands cuffed behind your back. They'd take you down Lakeshore Road and out to Cherry Beach, where there's about a mile and a half, a long straight road running right along the lake. They'd get the cruiser up to about 80 miles an hour and then stand on the brakes, let go, stand on the brakes. Your face would bounce off that cage about 4 times. You'd look like road rash when you got to the station.
I heard stories about that when I was growing up in Toronto.
But I know guys that it happened to.
Well, I heard a couple guys that had a run-in with the 52 detachment in Toronto, and he told me the story. And I was kind of back then. I was young, but I couldn't. Yeah, wow. I hope I don't run into those guys. But, yeah, you're going to find cops on steroids no matter what part of society. Where are you going to go? You're going to find these enforcement officials on steroids, literally.
Yep.
That guy that pulled Cody down, I mean, I'm looking at those guys, and I'm just going, wow. You know, absolute craziness. And this is what's going on in Canada now. They're taking people and pulling them out of their houses. You saw that. Of course, everybody's aware of that. That old guy and his wife. They pulled him out of the house because they were on a hunger strike. Well, that's my right, buddy. If I want to go on a hunger strike, I'll go on a hunger strike. Not anymore. Not in Canada.
There's something I watched today. Her name is Ellie. She's from Hamilton, and she's been at a number of rallies last year that I attended in Hamilton. She was in Ottawa with the C3 group.
She's transgender, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, Ellie's transgender.
I've watched your videos. I've actually listened to her.
She posted one on YouTube today, and it was all about the rallies at Queen's Park. And I've watched other rallies from Edmonton and Vancouver, Press for Truth. I've watched a number of their videos on during the rallies. And I routinely see on all of these videos Canadians using the word our Constitution, Canadians using the word our rights, Canadians using the words our charter, Canadians using the words our chartered rights and freedoms. I could sit here and tell you a whole bunch of things that could prove to you the charter is not a constitution.
Duke. Can I ask something here, Duke?
Sure.
If you capitulate with the system, if you're a voter, you have a driver's license, you have a birth certificate, you don't have any rights.
Well, what I'm trying to get at here, Steve, is that these people hold these things up, the charter, they claim it to be a constitution, they want to claim they have rights. I could ask Doug to spend half an hour explaining to the audience why we don't have rights. And yes, Steve, you're right, we don't have rights. All I want Canadians to do, when you hold up that Charter of Rights, down in the bottom right-hand corner of that fancy single printed page that the government likes to hand out to everyone, so you've got this fancy-looking document, sort of historical-looking, that you can wave around and say, that's our charter. Down in the bottom right-hand corner of that fancy piece of paper, I want you to look at Section 32 of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Section 32 states, this act applies to, colon, A, bracket, the federal government and the federal legislature. B, bracket, the provincial legislatures and members thereof. Closing statement at the very bottom. This act does not apply to persons, organizations, or corporations. Hello? What part of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not apply to you, the Canadian? It only applies to the federal government and the provincial governments. You, as a Canadian, have no rights. None. Whatsoever.
But as an Ontarian, you have your unalienable rights. As an Albertan, you have your unalienable rights. As a British Columbian, you have your unalienable rights, because the federal charter is an incorporation document. It only applies to its parent company and its sub-corporations, the province of Ontario. Please take note, I said Ontarian, Albertan, British Columbian. That's a non-incorporated entity, and that's where your feet are on the land. And it's funny how that works. I can't believe this whole, I'm going to come back to the COVID thing, because, you know, we've been watching, but and I can't believe it's only men and women getting the coronavirus, right? It's only men and women. Zero reports come from the other 70 genders. I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on with those guys?
Exactly.
Are they mean?
Is this such a communicable disease? Why aren't the homeless dying?
That's funny.
How do the homeless stay safe?
Well, no, COVID-19 is transphobic, brother.
Oh, it's a bigot. It's racist. Come on.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, you gotta laugh at that, Doug.
They locked us all. Wait a minute.
Explain that one, Mr. Trudeau.
The government locked us all up, but homeless people aren't dying for COVID. We should all be homeless. Never mind locked up. We're going to die locked up.
Oh, no, that's what they're going to wind up having you do. You'll all be homeless.
Don't laugh. That day might just come in this country, guys, the way it's
exactly.
going.
Exactly. Yeah, try not paying your mortgage.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. The other one,
try not paying your land tax. You think not paying your mortgage is going to get you booted out? Try not paying the government your land tax. Ho ho, baby ducks.
I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very soon, you're going to be hearing people exercising that old phrase, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Yeah.
This is my house. Come and get it.
And the problem with that, they send in these body armored guys who go, ch-ch, and then you are possessing. they send your way.
Yeah, but it's only going to happen so many times, and the rest of the people aren't going to tolerate it, Doug.
Do you want to hear something funny?
Like, we're living. No, now, Hank, let me finish here so that the people understand in perspective.
Go ahead.
Just last week, armed Americans stormed their state capitol while the government was in house in session.
Yes, that was okay? Michigan.
Yes, it was in Michigan. That doesn't mean it won't happen here. I remind you that Canadians took up arms and killed in order to press their issues in 1830s and 1840s before the so-called fake Confederation of 1867. In fact, 1867 was in response to the anti-imperialist, anti-Buckingham sentiment of the people in Ontario and Quebec, at that time, Upper and Lower Canada. You know as well as I do, Doug, the requests and issues that the Canadians sent back to England with the traitor MacDonald, none of it was represented in the BNA. The British government threw away everything the Canadian people asked for and instead created the British North America Act that represented nothing of what the people wanted.
Correct. Well, and here's something else. And I was going to say, so the gun owners here in Canada, they own their guns and what's been on the book for a very, very, very long time is that you're not allowed, if you're a citizen, you know, where you live in the provinces, anywhere in Canada, you can't own a bulletproof vest. It is illegal for you to put a bulletproof vest on, to have in your possession a bulletproof vest, unless you're a part of a security guard. And they don't even allow the security guards bulletproof vests because they're unarmed. They allow them what they call stab vests.
Yeah.
So that when the police open fire on a rogue security guard, they have no protection and you don't have any protection. But the police are all fully body armor wearing, but you're not allowed to by their statutes. You're not allowed to own bulletproof vests. How silly is that? In the U.S., you can have a and you're not allowed to own an armored vehicle here in Canada.
Why are all the police forces arming up with armored vehicles across the country? You're one of them. Just a coincidence, folks.
Yeah, it must be a coincidence because it's kind of like when they crossed the event horizon for the black hole for derivatives. It was just a coincidence that 3-4 days later, coronavirus took over.
I want to just elaborate on that a little bit, Doug, as far as armored vehicles and body armor. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine, I'm going back to the late 90s, he had a limo company here in Niagara. And he started bringing – this was when the economy was doing really good in the 1990s. And he started bringing big-name clients from the States up into Canada. And you wouldn't believe the nightmare he went through getting government approval for bulletproof glass and bulletproof protection in two of his limousines to carry these VIPs. He had to jump through hoops. His drivers had to go through security checks. Who the hell are you carrying around that's a target? Like, you wouldn't believe what they put him through just so he could run his business with bulletproof glass. Like,
well, you know, well, the
make
number.
Me prime minister, make me prime minister, and first thing I will do is legislate open carry across the country.
And?
You're lying, Barry. The first thing you'd do is legislate cookies everywhere.
Hey, they're not that bad. Dude, am I making sense tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. I'll say no more.
But anyway. Yeah, I mean, so the police can be well-armed and have body armor and have armored vehicles, but you, as a citizen, who they're going to come after, That's why they're arming up. They're not arming up to defend us against the Russians or the Chinese. No, they're arming up to defend themselves against us.
Exactly.
And they're going to make sure that we have as minimal arms as possible.
Hence the gun ban.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you look at the numbers, and anybody, folks, that have looked at the numbers of actual gun crimes in Canada, what guns are being used to perpetrate these crimes, the government hasn't got even a toenail of one toe on one foot to stand on, as far as having a valid reason to bring forth.
They don't need a valid reason, Barry. They are de facto. What does de facto mean? It means they are unlawful. They are an illegal entity.
They're not going to listen to anything the Canadian people say. If we can scream, at the top of our lungs, Doug. And people got to realize that this government is not going to listen. That they are following.
They are.
It's got to happen.
I'm going to take a page out of Duke Willis's book. He calls them the mafia, and they are the mafia.
Well, of course they are.
I was just going to say that our government system, and currently in the United States, it's almost exactly the same thing. It has digressed so far from its original foundation to the point where Washington is as comparable as Ottawa is to Don Corleone and the Gambino family fighting for supremacy of the criminal powers, okay? The Corleone family versus the Gambinos, right? And here in Canada, we have Tony Soprano stepping out on his own to form his own little empire. Because for, 27 years, Max Bernier's father was a member of the Progressive Conservative Party. And all of a sudden, Junior comes along and he's a member of the PC Party for, 14 years or 15 years before he formed Little Tony Soprano said, no, I'm leaving the family. I'm starting my own syndicate. And went off and started the PPC. All you got to do is look at it, people. Stuff some cotton in around your lower teeth and talk like Marlon Brando. I made him an offer he couldn't refuse, so they signed the GST and the NAFTA. It was a good deal. I didn't have to put a horse's head in his bed. That's politics, ladies and gentlemen.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely correct, Duke. I can't argue with anything you just said. It's a sad world we live in when people really just I don't know what to say to people at this point.
Do people need Canadian proof of a horse's head in someone's bed? Their names are Barry and Honey Sherman. Oh, look at all the light bulbs going on over Canadians' heads. Oh, yeah, that's the couple that was killed because of Trudeau. Well, what do you think, Don Corleone? What do you think John Gotti did to people when he was a mobster, when somebody didn't agree with him and was out to expose him for being a mobster? Gee, their boat sank while they were out tuna fishing.
But just that, you know, Duke, for the common Canadian to embrace that thought right now is very, very difficult, because if they haven't been down the rabbit holes you have, or I have, or Doug have, they're still on the surface, and it's really hard to get
all
that
right.
Canadian.
Well, Okay, so let's not do it. I'm going to give this to Doug. I'm going to give this to Doug. Doug, let's not do a rabbit hole. Let's give people an explanation of what they're seeing their government do right now, and I'm going to give you three words, and you take it from there.
And we got order, 9 minutes left on the show.
Order in council. Off you go.
Yeah, but okay. But before I even touch on that, Gimd, I'm going to say one word. What it's actually called in modern vernacular is called an Arkanside. That's what's happening to these people. And that it used to be called a Clinton side, but they call it an Arkanside now. And three words, an order in council is a creation by the governor general without the parliament, without anybody. And it's just done by the governor general alone. And he could create any kind of act or statute or, well, a quick example was the province of Manitoba was an order in council. It was created by the governor general. The province of British Columbia, when it was brought in under the British North American Act, was an order in council created by the governor general. There are thousands and thousands of examples
of this. The Charter of Rights and Freedoms, an order in council, never went before parliament. The new gun laws, an order in council, never went before parliament. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, Canada is and has always been, since 1792, a singular dictatorship.
Oh, here's one for you, Duke. What's when we talk about taxation without representation, what are we talking about, Duke?
We're talking about Boston Tea Party.
We've got 7 minutes left, Duke, so you're going to have 2 minutes, and I'm going to give Doug 2 minutes. We're going to have to shut out the show. Go ahead.
What are we talking about? Taxation without representation? We're talking about 1990. J.W. Littlechild, member of parliament for Wetaskiwin, promised his constituents all through the election campaign that he would vote no on GST, no on NAFTA. His constituents gave him an overwhelming 80% majority over the incumbent Liberal. He got to Ottawa with Mr. Mulroney. Mr. Mulroney said, don't care what you told the constituents, you're voting yes because GST's coming in and we're doing the NAFTA deal. So he did as he was told and he voted yes. His constituents got together and launched a class action lawsuit against him. 1990, I don't have the docket number here in front of me. 1990, Alberta, Court of Queen's Bench, December 10th of 1990, Justice E.A. Marshall ruled there is, to the best of my knowledge, there is no law requiring a politician to account to or seek consult with his constituents. Further, the constituents have no recourse should the politician or elected representative not abide by their wishes, other than to exercise their right to vote in the next election.
Wow. I just wanted you to say little child case. I didn't need
to. Well, but people need to know.
Our
courts will stand up and tell you, you have no voice. Shut up and pay your taxes. You have no representation. Shut up and pay your taxes.
Exactly. You get to watch the hockey game. We're giving you a hockey game to watch.
Yeah, and beer.
And beer.
Go buy your Corona down at the LCBO.
Beer, hockey game, go to work the next day.
Hot store is open.
Just don't ask any questions, guys. We've got it under control. Just exactly. Drink your beer, watch your hockey game, and go to work tomorrow morning and repeat the same thing.
No, you can't go to work unless you work at the hot store.
Don't go to work tomorrow.
If you work at the pot store, if you work at the meth clinic, if you work at Walmart, if you work at Home Depot,
what
a Canadian Tire,
we get it.
Listen, guys, we're down to 4 minutes here, okay? So I'm just going to give you a minute to say goodnight, last quick thought, and we're going to have to shut out the show.
Thank you very much for having me on with Duke Willis tonight, Barry. I appreciate that once again. Steve, for bringing me in. Thank you. And I'm Doug Force at The Myth Is Canada. So all you listening to this tonight, go to www.themythiscanada.ca. We have a Facebook page called The Myth Is Canada. We have a Twitter feed at The Myth Is Canada. We put up all kinds of really good information, giving you down the rabbit hole stuff, except it's all backed up with documentation. So thank you again, Barry and Steve, for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Doug. Duke, last thought.
Doug, thank you so much for letting me rant and banter back and forth with me tonight. Before I take off, I want to remind everyone that's listening, you can find me on Facebook, Duke Willis, YouTube, Duke Willis, Twitch, Duke Willis, and on Twitter at @Patriot_Duke. I do have a show coming up. Now, I'm not doing my regular... For 2.5 years, I've done 4 shows every night or 4 nights a week. I do have a special scheduled show coming up Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Ontario time. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. Central time. An evening with Professor James Fetzer from jamesfetzer.org. Professor Fetzer is joining me, and we're going to be talking about some of the things we discussed tonight. In the first half hour, we're going to talk about the exposure of truth on a worldwide basis. And then we're going to spend the second half hour talking about the reaction to the exposure of truth.
Cool.
It should be a good show. Yeah.
Sounds like a good one. Well, tune in, folks, and grab that. That sounds like something I'd like to watch myself, Duke. So you'll probably have one more watcher in your audience. Thanks for joining me tonight, bud.
No problem, Barry. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, well, folks, we're going to have to shut it out. This was an impromptu show, and I got to thank Steve Roberts for doing this for me tonight, and PIR, of course, for providing my platform, and the people over in Shake and Wake for carrying the show tonight. I've had a lot of fun chatting with my guest tonight. My last thoughts, folks, we are in crazy times, and chaos is going to be the order of the day. The old saying that out of chaos comes control will ring loud in our ears in the next little while. So when that does happen, all I ask is try and keep your feet on the ground. Don't give them the reaction to the chaos that they want. If we do that, we'll beat them. Stop paying your taxes, period. What else can we do at this point? We know we're up against the wall, but I believe we can still win this, but we've got to do it quick. The window's closing. Thanks for listening in tonight, guys. It's been a slice. I'll be back Sunday with Alex Newman from the New American Magazine, a gentleman that with his intelligence level blows me away, and he's going to really break down this COVID-19 hoax for us on Sunday. So please join me, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And thanks for listening in tonight, and we'll be back soon.
Buck the system. Buck the system.
Amen. Okay, guys, thanks for listening in. Good night for now.